The happiest place on earth also be one of the most haunted. In today's episode, we step beyond the magic and into the shadows of Disneyland, uncovering chilling stories shared by former cast members and park visitors, from unexplained encounters at their closing to eerie sightings in some of the park's most iconic locations. Story number one, the creepy Disneyland story. Commented on my Instagram page by Prissy.Christina. In the summer of 2003, Christina worked at Disneyland. And like many cast members, she had heard the stories whispered between coworkers, tales about certain areas of the park that felt different after dark. Tomorrowland was one of those places. Long before Christina ever worked there, way back in 1974, a young cast member named Deborah Debbie Stone was crushed to death while working as a hostess at the America Sings attraction inside Disneyland. The incident was real, tragic, and has since become one of Disneyland's most enduring ghost stories. This video would go viral in the earlier days of YouTube, which purportedly captures her last moments on camera. An unsuspecting crowd thinking that it was all part of the act, with her body only discovered when it was too late. Over the years, cast members claimed that unusual activity continued around Tomorrowland, especially close to the area where America Sings once stood. The stories were usually small. Things moved around in storage rooms. Merchandise would be rearranged without explanation. Cast members would enter a back room and find shelves, boxes, or displays altered in ways that felt less like a mistake and more like a prank. Most people called it poltergeist activity, while others called it Debbie. Christina had heard the stories, but she had never expected to experience anything herself. It was one night about an hour before closing when she would find herself alone inside the Star Trader gift shop. The store sat in Tomorrowland, near Space Mountain, which was undergoing renovations at the time. With the attraction closed, that entire part of the land had become unusually quiet. No park visitors wandered throughout the area, and Tomorrowland, normally bright and bustling, felt empty. The other employees had either clocked out for the evening or stepped away for their breaks, leaving Christina all alone behind the counter. She occupied herself with closing tasks, cleaning and organizing while waiting for the night to end. And at that point, one of the counter drawers had been left partially open, only about 4 inches, so cast members could quickly reach inside for shopping bags when needed. Christina was cleaning nearby when the drawer began to move all on its own. At first, it rattled. Not a light vibration. Not the subtle shifting of an old cabinet. It shook violently. And Christina stopped what she was doing and just stared at it. Nothing else in the shop moved. The merchandise remained still. The shelves didn't shake. And there was no rumble beneath her feet. No sound of construction. No explanation for why that single drawer seemed to be trembling on its own. And then, out of nowhere, it slammed shut. Bang! The sound cracked through the empty store, and Christina froze. The drawers were made of heavy plywood, solid, thick, and difficult to move even under normal circumstances. These drawers did not slide easily, and they did not simply swing shut. Closing one took force. Yet that drawer had slammed shut hard enough to echo throughout the quiet store. For several seconds, Christina just stood there, trying to make sense of it. Maybe another employee was playing a trick on her. Maybe somebody had been hidden in the store, ducking down below to push the drawer closed. Maybe the drawer had caught on to something and shifted because of a mechanical problem. I don't know. None of these things made sense. She went over to the drawer, half expecting to find someone crouched behind the counter, or maybe even a string tied to the handle, or some sort of obvious explanation. But there was nothing. Just shopping bags inside a heavy wooden drawer. Christina never found a rational explanation for what happened that night, and Tomorrowland never felt quite the same after that night. Story number 2. Disneyland horror story based on a post made by CarlosBozo77 on my Instagram page. For 17 years, Carlos worked as a Disney cast member. From 2007 until 2024, he spent countless late nights behind the scenes at Disneyland, working as a steward in the New Orleans main kitchen. It was a demanding job, cleaning, washing dishes, and keeping the kitchen in order after the restaurants had closed and the crowds had finally disappeared. By the time Carlos clocked out, it was usually well after midnight. Sometimes he wouldn't leave until 1 or 2 a.m. And the park was different at that hour. During the day, New Orleans Square was filled with music, laughter, food, and the constant movement of guests. But after closing, the familiar energy drained away. The pathways went still. The buildings seemed darker. The distant sounds of machinery and nighttime maintenance replaced the noise of the crowds. Apparently, Carlos would hear stories about a little boy who would wander into the New Orleans main kitchen late at night when everything else was closed. No one could ever explain how he got inside. He would appear just after midnight, breaking plates, making noises, and creating small disruptions that the staff couldn't account for. Every time something happened, workers would search the area, expecting to find someone, the source of whatever was happening. But whenever they looked, there would never, ever be anyone there. And for years, Carlos would work those late shifts with that story in the back of his mind. And it wasn't until one night at 1:10 a.m. that he finally encountered something himself. One night, after clocking out around 1:10 a.m., Carlos would spot a little girl. She would be standing alone near the kitchen area. And at first, he assumed that she had gotten separated from her family and somehow stayed inside the park without being caught by security. Although the thought of it was terrifying, it was the only explanation that made sense. Carlos would approach her. "Are you looking for your parents?" Carlos asked. But before the little girl could even let out a word, she vanished. Carlos looked around immediately, searching the area for any sign of her. The kitchen corridors were empty. The exits were clear, and there was nowhere that a child could have gone without him seeing. This experience stayed with Carlos, and eventually, Carlos made a decision. He transferred to Disneyland California Adventure and began working at Flo V8's Cafe to get away from the paranormal activity happening at New Orleans Square. Story number 3. Strange Encounter in Autopia, based on a post by Latruce on my Instagram page. Latruce was one of the last guests waiting in line for Autopia that night. The park was nearing closing time, and The usual energy of Tomorrowland had already begun to fade. Most guests have moved on toward the exit, lining up for one final ride, browsing the shops and making their way through the dimming pathways as the night came to an end. By the time Latrus finally climbed into an Autopia car, the attraction had technically closed. The cast members were still allowing the final guests in line to finish their rides, but there was no one waiting behind him now. No long line, no chatter from families nearby, no steady stream of cars pulling away from the loading area, just the low engine of his own vehicle and the track ahead. Autopia felt different without the crowds. Normally, the ride was full of noise, engines sputtering, kids laughing, parents shouting reminders to steer, and cars bumping lightly along the guide rail. But that night, as Latrus drove deeper into the course, the attraction felt unusually empty, quiet, dark. The lights around Tomorrowland glowed in the distance, but the track itself seemed shadowed and still. And for a while, Latrus was alone with the hum of the engine and the steady rattle of the car against the guide rail. And then he saw something move. Somewhere in the middle of the track, a shape suddenly ran across the roadway ahead of him. Latrus couldn't tell exactly what it was. It might have been a person, it might have been an animal, but it was too fast, too unexpected, and too dark for him to get a clear look. But whatever it was, it seemed to cross directly through the track area before vanishing into the darkness on the other side. His attention snapped toward where it had gone. He searched the shadows, expecting to see a cast member or maybe another guest, or perhaps even an animal moving through the brush. But there was nothing. No footsteps, no voice, no sign of anyone. And then not long after, his Autopia car had stalled. The engine sputtered and the vehicle slowed abruptly, leaving Latrus sitting alone on the track in the darkness. He waited for the car to start moving again, trying to make sense of what he had just seen. And that's when he felt it. A force struck his right shoulder. Hard. It wasn't a casual bump from the motion of the car. It wasn't the jolt of the guide rail or the uneven track beneath him. It felt like an aggressive shove. Latrus jerked to the side, shocked by the sudden impact. His immediate instinct was to turn around to see who had pushed him. But there was nobody, no person beside the track. No other car close enough to explain it. Nothing but the empty roadway. Autopia's vehicles use a guide rail and bumpers designed to keep the riders on the track. So a sudden isolated jolt can have ordinary mechanical explanations. But the timing, the figure crossing the track, the stalled car, and the forceful shove left Latrus unable to dismiss the moment easily. Eventually, the ride continued, carrying him back towards the unloading area. But the feeling of that shove stayed with him. He had boarded Autopia, expecting one last harmless ride before leaving Disneyland for the night. But instead, somewhere in the quiet middle part of the track, Latrus was left wondering whether something had run across the road ahead of him, or whether something had been beside him all along. Story number 4. The Little Mermaid Ghost, based on a post by GDub68 on my Instagram page. A few years earlier, Pete was working custodial at Disney California Adventure when he was called to help another lead with an unusual cleanup assignment. Someone had scattered ashes at the Little Mermaid attraction. It was not an ordinary mess, but it was something custodial teams occasionally had to handle discreetly. After carefully cleaning the area, the ashes were gathered into a bag for proper disposal. The task was finished, the area was cleared, and Pete and the other lead were ready to continue with the rest of their shift. But out of curiosity, Pete pulled out his phone. He had an EVP app installed, one designed to pick up what paranormal investigators refer to as EVPs, electronic voice phenomena. Still, given what they had just cleaned up, he decided to open it. And almost immediately, a voice came through the phone. An older woman.
"Hello?"
Pete froze for a moment, then answered her. "Hello?" he said. The reply came quickly.
"I'm stuck."
Pete looked down at the bag containing the ashes. The timing was unsettling enough that he responded without even thinking about it. "Well, you're in a bag." For a second, there was silence. And then the voice returned one last time.
"Help me."
That was enough. Pete and the other custodial lead looked at each other, and both of them were suddenly done with the experiment. Whatever the app had picked up, whether it was a strange audio artifact, an unexplained voice, or something attached to the remains they had just collected, neither of them wanted to continue the conversation. Pete shut off the app and went back to work, continuing their days as if nothing had happened. He claimed that he assisted with 5 different cleanups at the Little Mermaid alone, as it had become quite a popular spot for people to dump their loved ones' ashes. Within 7 months at Disneyland, he also had 4 cleanups at the Haunted Mansion. The dumping of loved ones' ashes had been a long-running Disneyland legend, with the Haunted Mansion being the most often associated with the practice. The most widely reported incident occurred in November 2007, when surveillance footage allegedly captured a woman sprinkling a powdery substance during Pirates of the Caribbean. She told Disney staff members that it was just baby powder. However, the attraction closed briefly, and authorities said that there was no confirmed evidence that the material that she spreaded was actual human remains. However, the case brought attention to the phenomenon, and former employees and media reporting have described specialized HEPA cleanup procedures, specifically for suspected ash incidents. You guys know I love telling scary stories, but did you know I also like to cook? Now, when I cook, I'm always looking for high-quality meats, and given that I do a lot of online ordering, selecting any sort of meat is always like a gamble. Am I going to get something fresh, or will it be the old meat that's almost off the shelf? Because of that, I'm anxious to order any sort of meat online, and I often have to visit the store in person to pick the quality meat that I want. What if I told you there's a different solution to all of this? Now, as you may know, I love scrolling Reddit, and I came across this company many people kept posting about named Omaha Steaks, a company that's been around for over 100 years with the same quality meat that you can get at the highest rated restaurants around. Whether it's ribeyes for a special date night with a horror movie, hamburgers for a campfire with some scary stories, or a juicy sausage that you can cut up into tiny pieces in the kitchen, Omaha Steaks has it all. Omaha Steaks is known for their meticulous aging process and vacuum-sealed individual packaging, and is shipped nationwide, arriving frozen and ready to grill, sear, and roast with minimal effort and time. And did you know that they have this really cool offering called the Burger Perfection Flight? For just $79.99, you can get 20 premium steak burgers crafted from 5 distinct cuts of steak, including filet mignon, New York strip, ribeye, brisket, and sirloin. I can't wait to try this flight. already have my order in, and it's going to be here in no time, and I'll let you guys know just how good it is. Try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, get $35 off with promo code BEEF. That's omahasteaks.com. Promo code BEEF for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. Story number 5. Mickey and Friends Parking Lot. A story based on a post made by Francisco Gallego on my Instagram post. It was around 11 p.m. on July 5th, 2026, when Frank stepped out of the restrooms near the Mickey and Friends parking structure. At that hour, the area had a different feeling. Most of the daytime rush had passed. The noise of families leaving the trams had thinned out, leaving the garage and surrounding walkways quieter than usual. As Frank exited the bathroom, something directly ahead caught his attention. He would experience the side lid of a trash can being closed as if someone had pushed it inward to throw something away. However, no one was there. Not one person was even close to the trash can. Frank saw it close shut with his own eyes. A solid, unmistakable plastic thud. Nobody was nearby, so who could it have been? The experience brought to mind all the tragedies that have occurred at that very parking structure. Frank wondered whether the strange moment might somehow be connected to someone who had died there. There have been multiple reports of people taking their own lives within that very parking structure. In fact, there have been at least 5 documented reports of people who have passed away within the Mickey and Friends parking structure since 2010. Maybe Frank might have experienced one of the people that passed away there, letting him know that they have never left. Story number 6. Real Skeletons in the Pirates of Caribbean Ride, based on a post made by Fernando264312 on my Instagram page. And not to mention, this is a long-running Disneyland urban legend. For as long as Fernando could remember, Pirates of the Caribbean had felt different than most other rides. It was supposed to be an adventure ride, but from the first time Fernando drifted through those underground scenes, something about the skeletons made him feel uneasy. Not all of them, though. It was just some. And as Fernando's boat floated deeper into the attraction, past the dark water and shadowed rock formations, he would look at the skeletal pirates posed among the treasure. Some slumped over maps, others lay surrounded by gold, or sat frozen in the remains of their final moments. They were meant to just be props made by Disneyland Imagineers, set dressing, part of the story, but a few of them had a strange presence. Something about their proportions, their faces, the shape of their bones. They looked too convincing, too detailed, less like themed replicas and more like something that had once actually lived. Fernando could never explain it, so he kept it to himself. After all, it was Disneyland, a place where imagination came into real life. The attraction was famous for its elaborate audio animatronics and its carefully designed scenes. Pirates of the Caribbean was built to make guests feel as though they had stepped into another world. But years later, Fernando learned something that changed the way that he remembered those rides. When the Pirates of Caribbean ride originally opened, accounts from former Disney producer Jason Sorrell say that real human skeletal remains were used in portions of the attraction because the artificial skeletons available at the time did not look convincing enough. The actual human remains were later replaced with realistic replicas, reportedly given proper burial. However, there are rumors that persist that at least one or more authentic skulls could still remain in the attraction, but those claims have never been confirmed officially. Story number 7, Who's in the Bathroom? Based on a comment posted by 9torres.antonio9 on my Instagram page. Antonio had worked late night shifts near Big Thunder Ranch, back in the old frontier area of Disneyland. By the time he started his closing routine, guests were long gone. His responsibility was simple: close out and clean the restrooms before he ended his shift. At least it was supposed to be simple. The restrooms were equipped with motion-activated fixtures. The sinks turned on automatically whenever someone placed their hands beneath the sensors, and the toilets would flush after use. Antonio understood how they worked. He had cleaned those bathrooms often enough to recognize the ordinary sounds of water running, toilets flushing, and fixtures switching on. But on certain nights, the bathroom did not feel completely empty. Antonio would be cleaning alone when suddenly a sink would turn on. Water would begin running into the basin even though no one stood in front of it. He would look up, expecting to see another cast member entering the restroom or someone reaching toward the sensor, but there would never be anyone there. And then from one of the stalls, a toilet would flush by itself. Antonio tried to explain it away at first. Its sensor that could malfunction, maybe the air, or maybe a stray insect could potentially trigger an automatic fixture. But the timing and repetition made the experiences harder to ignore. Big Thunder Ranch was eventually removed to make way for Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, leaving its old restroom area behind in Disneyland history. Story number 8, The Little Girl at Disneyland. Made on a Reddit post titled, Current or Former Cast Members, What Are Your Ghost Stories? When Cheryl first started working at Disneyland, she didn't believe in ghosts. Most of her career would eventually be spent as a tour guide, moving through the park every day, learning its history and its hidden details, and the carefully controlled magic built into every corner. But early on, when she first started working there, she worked in the Critter Country stores. New to the company, unfamiliar with late-night procedures, and unaware of the stories that cast members shared once park visitors had gone home. At the time, ghost stories were just that, stories. And then barely 2 weeks into the job, Cheryl had a shift that ended 15 minutes after everyone else's. The rest of her team had already clocked out, and of course, no one wanted to wait around for the new hire. So when Cheryl finally finished her closing task, she had to walk through the entire park alone. It was 1:45 a.m. in the morning, and Cheryl walked on stage in front of Splash Mountain, glancing down at her phone as she headed towards the backstage exit. And then, at that moment, she would look up. A little girl was standing on the hill ahead of her, her back toward her. She looked 7 or 8 years old and wore a plain white dress, something that reminded Cheryl of a First Communion dress. It was not sparkly or costume-like. It looked ordinary. Old-fashioned, but ordinary. Cheryl's first thought was not paranormal. It was panic. The park was closed. How had a child been left behind? As a new cast member, she struggled to remember exactly what the protocol was for a lost child. She looked around for security, another cast member, anyone who could take control of the situation. but no one was there. The girl stood closer to the entrance of the Davy Crockett canoes. Cheryl was near the Winnie the Pooh entrance. They were roughly 100 feet apart at this point, and Cheryl began walking toward her.
"Hey, do you need help?"
she called.
"Are you lost?"
But the girl did not answer. Hell, she didn't even turn around. She simply stood there with her back to Cheryl. Growing frustrated and increasingly worried that security had not fully cleared the park, Cheryl scanned the area again, and when she turned back to the little girl was running at a full sprint toward Cheryl, who assumed that the little girl would soon collide with her. Cheryl flinched, squeezed her eyes shut, and braced for impact. And that's when she felt it. A brief gush of cold air sweeping past her. However, when Cheryl opened her eyes, no one was there. The girl had simply vanished. Cheryl searched the area for a few moments, but she was still thinking like a new employee, not someone who had seen a ghost. She assumed a real child had somehow gotten lost and run away. And without a phone or a clear way to reach security, Cheryl decided the nearby attraction's cast members, who were still closing Winnie the Pooh, would find the girl and handle it themselves. So she simply walked away. At the time, she did not feel fear. She did not think she had experienced anything supernatural. That feeling only came days later. Cheryl had an opening shift with another lead, whom she had never met before. A woman who had worked mornings and had been at Disneyland for nearly 20 years. While making small talk, the lead asked Cheryl how she was settling in as a new hire. And Cheryl decided to test the waters, not wanting to get in trouble for leaving a lost kid behind. She would ask the lead, "Have you ever seen anything weird at night?" she asked. The lead looked at her. "Did you see a girl in a white dress?" And that's when Cheryl's stomach had dropped. She had not said anything about where she worked. She didn't even describe the girl. She had not even mentioned Splash Mountain, the canoes, or the way the child mysteriously appeared in front of her. But the lead had described exactly what Cheryl had seen. That was when the experience became something else. And over the years, Cheryl heard the same story passed down among cast members who worked near Splash Mountain, the Haunted Mansion, Tom Sawyer Island, and Critter Country. The little girl was often referred to by the name of Mary. And according to legend, Mary had loved Tom Sawyer's Island and that entire area of the park in the early 1970s. She had leukemia, and after her death, her parents allegedly scattered her ashes on the island. Now, the detail that stayed with Cheryl was how many people reported an encounter first, only learning the story afterward, in almost the exact way that she had. And years later, a manager in guest relations told Cheryl that he had started at Disneyland in the 1980s and had experienced something unusual himself. A lead had told him the same story about Mary when he was new, and nobody seemed to know where the legend had exactly started. Yet it persisted, traveling through generations of cast members working in that same corner of the park. Cheryl had other unsettling moments during her Disneyland career, though none as immediate or startling as the girl in the white dress. After COVID, she spent some time working at the dressing room at Mickey's house. She had heard that people considered that whole area to be strange, but she never witnessed anything unusual there herself. The place that affected her was actually an employee-only walkway beneath the Haunted Mansion. The passage was occasionally available for cast members outside the mansion team, as long as they followed strict rules. Phones had to be off. In one section, no lights could be used at all. Any visible light could shine upward through the attraction track and interfere with the scene above, ruining the magic for park visitors. The walkway passed through storage areas and audio equipment rooms before reaching a door near the maintenance workshop, and from there, it led up a staircase and into a narrow hallway that opened backstage toward a commissary. Cheryl never felt uneasy in the dark part of the path. That was the strange thing. Even without her phone, surrounded by equipment and enclosed passageways beneath one of Disneyland's most famously eerie attractions, she felt perfectly fine. The darkness itself never frightened her. But every time she reached the staircase leading outside, that feeling changed. It felt as though someone was behind her. Not a sound, not footsteps, not a visible figure, just a feeling in the air. A presence close enough to make her walk faster, keep her eyes forward, and resist the urge to turn around. And eventually, she stopped taking that route alone. She would make friends. She waited for people at their shifts. She walked out with other cast members whenever she could. And it would be like this until Cheryl left Disneyland in 2022. But still to this day, she still knows people working at the resort across different departments. And while she does not claim to know whether Mary or anything else really haunts Disneyland, she knows what happened to her. At 1:45 a.m. in the morning, in an empty section of Critter Country, she saw a little girl in a white dress. The girl crossed 100 feet without a sound, and Cheryl felt her pass. And when she opened her eyes, the girl was completely gone. Have you ever experienced anything creepy at Disneyland? If so, email me at mike@thescarecast.com or send me a message on Instagram @thescarecast. If you enjoyed these stories, make sure you rate and review this podcast. And as always, be safe out there. And until next time.